Morning and Merry Christmas. Today's service is for the first Sunday after Christmas. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Hasten to save me, O God. O Lord, come quickly to help me. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship him. Dear friends, we have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us. He has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty God, in mercy, you sent your one and only Son to take upon himself our human nature. By his gracious coming, deliver us from the corruption of our sin and transform us into the likeness of his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to our lessons for this Sunday after Christmas. Our first lesson is from Hebrews chapter 2. The writer lays out the loving purpose of God in Jesus Christ. We begin reading at verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And once again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is God's word. And our gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 2. Luke compares the two natures of Jesus. We begin reading at verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. This is the gospel of our Lord. With that, then, we will turn to our message for today. The reading is going to come from Titus chapter 2. Grace, the gift that keeps on giving. Excuse me. While growing up, my two great aunts made many special things to give to us, and they were of that type that was like an ornament to hang on a Christmas tree. And one of those ornaments is going to always be remembered, and I still have it. It was a mailbox with your name on it. The mailbox had a little door that allowed you to open it up and peer inside. And on Christmas morning, you would open up that mailbox, and there would be something special in it. And over the years, we followed that practice. In fact, I even had my great aunts make a little mailbox for each of our children. And so we would put money inside that little mailbox. And when the kids would come to the tree, they would open it up and find that little gift inside. Well, with some of our grandkids here this week, and no aunt to have made them a mailbox, we just put envelopes on the tree. And since we couldn't buy these children, any Christmas gifts, since they traveled so light, every morning I would place a gift on the tree for them. And it was on one of those mornings when these words were uttered that gave me the idea for our theme today. And those words were, "Oh, it's the tree that keeps on giving." Today, as we bask in the afterglow of our Savior's birth, those words regarding the tree brought to mind really what the season is all about. Our focus is on the gift that keeps on giving, a beautiful and precious gift that we call grace. Listen to the Apostle Paul's words as recorded for us in Titus chapter 2. Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Grace, the gift that keeps on giving. Perhaps for the most of you, early in December, you probably put up the Christmas tree. And so when that tree is placed up, what does that tell you? That Christmas is coming. And then in the days following putting that tree up, suddenly there starts to appear packages, presents, under the tree. Now what did that tell you? That told you that Christmas was right around the corner. And then Christmas comes, and those Christmas gifts are opened. And today, a few days after Christmas, we find ourselves playing with or wearing or perhaps using some of those Christmas presents. Well, Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Like the Christmas tree, the Old Testament prophecies told God's people that the gift was coming. And on Christmas, some lucky shepherds were the first to be told and the first to see that the gift had arrived. The gift of grace is the gift of Jesus. Grace is one of those words that oftentimes we just need to make sure that we know what it means. Some people think grace is nothing more than just saying a table prayer. But if we get grace messed up, then we're also going to get salvation messed up. So let's look at what Paul told Titus, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. If grace is something that has appeared, then it must be an actual thing, something that we can see and touch. My friends, grace is Jesus in the flesh. It is who he is and what he's done. If you were to tell me, draw a picture of grace, what I would do is draw you a picture of Jesus. He came for all, all. And what does he bring? He brings salvation to all. You might have a chance to go on an all-inclusive vacation. An all-inclusive vacation means everything is included. That's the meaning of salvation. Salvation includes every spiritual blessing that we have through Jesus. Salvation is a love that never grows old, a life that never ends, a peace that's never disturbed, a joy that's never diminished, and a hope that is never disappointed. Grace, the gift that keeps on giving. Paul says it goes on. It's grace is what motivates us. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Christmas changes the way we live now. It teaches us to say no to those thoughts, words, and actions where the Lord has told us, don't say those, don't make that a part of your life. Grace and grace alone motivates us to do that. You can be threatened to do the right thing, and you can do it, but that threat's not going to lead to a lasting obedience. It is grace that gives us the motivation just to say no. And finally, grace is the gift that keeps on giving. Paul says it gives hope. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Paul says. On Wednesday, we celebrated the birth of Jesus. And there's that joy and that happiness, but here's the sad truth to it all. It's a truth that Simeon told Mary, that her soul was going to be pierced. The truth was that Jesus was born to die. And I'm sure that every single day of her life, Mary lived with that reality. Yet she knew her son had to die if he was going to be our Savior, if we were to have any hope. Without the cross, our world and our lives are hopeless. Paul concludes, he says, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. He gave himself to redeem us. Let me share another remembrance of my childhood with my great aunts. We called them Tantas, Tanta Ida and Tanta Loretta. And this remembrance involves S&H green stamps. We lived out in a country where nobody gave you an S&H green stamp. But almost, several times a month, we would travel in to see our great aunts in Milwaukee. And there, when you would stop and get gas, you'd get an S&H green stamp. And when you visited the Tantas, they would have a booklet where we would be able to put those little stamps in that booklet. And you'd fill up the booklet. And when you had enough, you would then redeem it. You would trade them in for something you wanted. There were two steps in that process. First of all, you had to buy something to get the stamp. And then you turned them in to claim something. In redemption, the Lord bought us and he claimed us. God purchased us from sin, death, and the devil with the price of his holy, precious blood of his Son. That's what Christmas is all about. And now he claims us. He claims us with the water of baptism. Baptism is the means by which the Holy Spirit uses to purify us, to make us God's people, his very own. We are a part of his family. We are his sons and daughters. And now, as the family of believers, we wait in hope for the second coming of Christ. Listen once more to verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful portion of God's word? Isn't that what makes being part of a church so wonderful? Isn't that what gives life worth living and death worth dying? Hope. Let me take you back again to Christmas Day, this time though, 1948. The city of West Berlin. It's a very cold and lonely city for the American soldier, far, far away from home. But there's one glimmer of hope. An American comedian with his troupe of pretty girls and his corny jokes. He raises spirits with his USO show. Now at the close of the show, Bob Hope introduces one of the most famous songwriters in America, Irvin Berlin. He can't read music, he can't sing to save his life. But as he belts out the first few words of I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, his voice is drowned out by the voices of every soldier in attendance singing, with hardly a dry eye in the house. Every soldier thinks of home and the hope of soon being home. Like those American soldiers, we dream of being home. Our hope doesn't come through a man named Bob. It comes through a Savior named Jesus. He is Christ the Lord. He is our sure hope, getting home. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And with believing hearts then, receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week. And continue. Merry Christmas.